I'm Suresh Kolati. I work from IBM Software Labs, Bangalore, located in India. My presentation is about DHCP v6 on Linux. To be more specific, it is DHCP plus IPv6 and what we have done on Linux for DHCP v6. So this is the layout of the presentation, and initially I'll be touching about IPv6 address auto-configuration specifications and how DHCP v6 proposes a solution for stateless address auto-configuration. And we have, I'll be explaining some details about our implementation for DHCP v6 on Linux and what we assume, we assume some limitations to the network under consideration and made it a prototype implementation. So the solution we have currently is not a complete one, it is a prototype and it can be enhanced for a period of time. And at the end, I'll be explaining what needs to be done, what needs to be added, more than that. Is it okay? Yeah. IPv6, everybody knows that it has a larger address space. It has 128 bits of address, whereas IPv4 has 32 bits. And IPv6 has features like inbuilt mobility, security, simplified error structure, and flow labeling. And IPv6 provides multicasting instead of broadcasting. That is one more feature. And for address auto-configuration, IPv6 has two modes. One is stateless address auto-configuration, one is stateful address auto-configuration. I'll be explaining both stateless and stateful, and why do we need stateful even if we have stateless. Right. Stateless address auto-configuration is one of the best features of IPv6, mainly because it does not require any user interaction while configuring the interface. In IPv6, we have routers which advertise prefixes and advertisements for a period of time regularly. And whenever a client comes up, it picks up the advertisement from the server and configures the interface based on the prefix information available and the locally available information. So, stateless address configuration ensures that the address we are generating is unique across the network. And with the user don't need to do anything in order to configure the interface. Just needs to bring up the stack, it comes up. To generate the uniqueness, mostly the client uses the MAC address, and which is a 48 bit. It gets the prefix information from the router element and then adds the MAC address to that, so that it generates a unique address. It is for Ethernet. MAC is for Ethernet. So for other interfaces, it generates in its own fashion. Wherever possible, it tries to generate the unique identifier. And after generating that, it ensures the uniqueness of the address. So by sending, it has a neighbor discrete protocol whereby it ensures the address it has generated is unique. If it is not unique, it will try to generate another one. Okay, we have stateless address auto-configuration which requires no manual interaction. Why do we need a stateful? The main reason is that if you go for a stateless address auto-configuration, we don't have a control over who is getting what address. And the network administrators do want that, whereby they can deny internet access to some of the people, or they can control the access to limited resources only. IPv6 has some scopes. One is a link local, which anybody can generate. I mean, any interface which is coming up will generate its own link local address, or that which you have on site local, organization local, and then global scope. So using stateless address router configuration, if a router is sending one advertisement, anybody can pick up the advertisement and anybody can generate its address on one. But we don't have any control over which is getting what. So we have to have one mechanism where you say we can control the limitation and then have the database information, okay, what is the current state of the network, how many clients have been configured currently, and how many clients have access to which scope of the address. And yeah, I mean, the clients can choose to use the stateful address router configuration through router advertisement. Router advertisement has one field, manager address field, and we'll have one bit called M. If it is set, that means that it has to go through a stateful address router configuration. So whenever a client finds finds one in the M bit, it goes for the stateful address router configuration. And client can get address as well as some other information like DNS, domain, search information, etc. Yeah, the server keeps track of what are the clients it has configured by it. And it is possible to get the current state of the network from the server server. Yeah, we can control the devices and address allocation to various devices. And DHCP v6 is one of the stateful address configuration. The basic entities are client, server, and one relay. The client requests the server for some addresses, and server allocates the addresses and then gives it back to the client. And client configures the addresses being given by server. And DHCP-6 stands provides predefined message formats, and it provides a protocol. I mean, it gives the specifications how and when to generate various messages. And all the information, apart from the message header, we have the options where the client can issue, send some messages, what it requests. If it wants four addresses, it says that, okay, it sends IA option for four addresses, and then if it wants DNS, it will send one more option, I want DNS. We have that. And in some cases where the... Pardon? The current standards of DHCP-6 do not say anything about interaction, V4 and V6 server going along with it. That do not talk about V6 server giving out V4 addresses. Because the mechanism, there are some basic fundamental differences between V4 and V6, which I'll be explaining soon. Yeah, there may be cases where the client is not in a position to talk to the server directly, and we'll have one relay in between, which takes the messages from the client and then forwards it to server, and forwards the message from question? Pardon? Is the relay used whenever the client and server are not on the same physical subnet? Right. Yeah. Yeah. We have two subnets, and we have one client here, and server is somewhere else, and we don't have direct. This one is different subnet. And if a client in this subnet wants to get addresses from this server, we should have one relay in between. When a client sends a message to server, relay receives it and then forwards it to server on behalf of the client, and the server responds to the relay, and relay forwards it back to client. The current implementation is based on draft 23 standards, and the latest standard is 26. The code currently is available in ESA GIS site. we have open sourced in last July. In talking about DCP V4, whenever the client comes up, it broadcasts a message to the network saying that, okay, I'm new to this network, give me some IP address. That to the 67 ports are located for DCP V4. So the server, DCP V4 server looks, keeps tracking about the port. Whenever there's a message, it processes the message and then sends the message back to the client. Whereas in V6, we don't have broadcasting, we have multicasting. So that is that we can call it as one major difference between V6 and V4 that we have to keep account of. And in case of V4, we don't get IP address, we are not allocated any address till we get one IP address from some server or through local info. I mean, if it is static IP, we have to have provided in some other local disk.
Is it multicasting?
Pardon?
Multicasting
can be anything. It can be link scope, it can be site local, or it can be organization global. So for V6, we have multicasting. We have two kinds of multicast addresses. One is all DCP server multicast address, and one is all DCP agents multicast address. So I'll explain this and then come back. In case of V6, any client can generate its link local address on its own without any external interference. So what it does is that it generates one IP address based on the MAC address and with link local prefix. I'll just show it to you. Currently, we don't have any IPv6 specific address there, and you can see one IPv6 address. That is a link local. That is a link local address. We need not to specify any address to configure. I mean, the client will generate the address on its own. Question? We don't require any hardware changes. The networks whatever we have currently will work both for V4 and V6. We don't have any network. We don't need any network changes. And the advantages we are getting with V6 are quite good. I think it is okay to take some pains. Your question is how to have V4 and V6 coexistent?
Yes.
DCP. Currently, the current state of DCP is there is no client for V6. There is no commercial available, or I mean no client for V6 comes with any distribution. And coefficients of V4 and V6 is possible, except that I mean we need to have two clients, or we have to have some other client which can take both V4 and V6 addresses. I mean, it is not a big problem. Is it okay? What happened? Madam? One minute, sorry. In V4, the clients can be identified using MAC address or any address, I mean, which is a 48-bit, the usual way to identify any client. In case of V6, they come up with a different method called DUID, where we can identify any device like client or server using DUID. DUID is a combination of, the purpose of DUID is to uniquely identify any device across the, possibly across the world. The components of DUID are the link local address plus time. I mean, they have three or four methods to generate the DUID. The process we followed is to have only one link local address plus time when when the client came up. the primary requirement is to be unique. Is it answer? The client has to generate the DUID. The generation is possible in different ways. One way is to have the MAC address and then plus prime. And if we don't have MAC address, we can generate any DUID provided it is unique. It is possible. The specification says it is possible to generate our own DUID as long as we can ensure that it is unique. Right. Question? Right. It is the responsibility of the client to generate his DUID. And it is possible to alter. No. Oh, the client generates a DUID when it is coming up first. That means whenever you buy a computer and then generate, if you run your client, it generates the DUID at that time. You have to store the DUID in some persistent memory. And whenever the client reboots, it gets the information from that file and then uses the file to identify itself. Is that answer your question? And the DCP6 standard says that if there is any collision between two DUIDs, it is possible the client can generate, the client can modify and then generate a DUID. There is a draft. I have it in reference. Okay, we had a prototype implementation for DCPv6, and we assumed some things to make it as simple as possible. One thing is that we assumed there is only one single server is there. We don't have two servers, and the client can choose one out of those. We assumed some reliable communication between client and server, and we did not have any relay implementation in our code. DUID is to identify device like a machine, and for each machine we can have more than one interface, and each interface is identified using IA. The client initiates a message exchange with server and gets address and then configures. And each address is given to the client only for a specific period of time. We can call it as a lease period. And it is the client's responsibility to lease out or renew it if it wants to lease it continuously. We used two files to save the information, the client information. One is to save the DUID information. Once it generates, it saves that the contents of the DUID into some file, and then the client, whenever it comes up, it checks for the file if it is there or not. If it is there, it sends the contents to the server as a DUID. We used one more file to save the current address so that whenever it is rebooting or restarting the client, it can use the address, the information available in the file, and then request the server to use the same address. This is a state machine, and the initialization of the client is nothing but opening the sockets and checking whether there are sufficient configurations or not. Like we have some address. If it already holds some address, it goes to a different phase. And the typical flow is like initialize and then sends a solicit message. The solicit message is to find is to know about what are the different servers available in the network. And after sending solicit messages, the servers will receive the message and then send advertisement to the client, each client. Then the client sends a request for addresses with the server address. Once it gets the address, it checks the validity of the address. If it is invalid, it declines. Otherwise, it continues to use the address. Each address is given for a specific period of time, and it is the responsibility of the client to renew it and to discard the address if it can't renew it within time. For renewing, we have two modes. One is called renew and another is rebind. Renew is when the state of renew starts after 50% of the valid lifetime. And from 50% of the valid lifetime to 80% of the valid lifetime, we call it T2. Between T1 and T2, it can renew it. After T2, it can have a rebind. So the basic difference between renew and rebind is we can send a renew message to the only one server which we have from where we got the address from. The rebind message can be sent to any server. If your question is, how do you know the server name, server IP address? Right. Okay. Your question is, whenever you send a rebind message, how does the server know that it is, it has already renewed, and the client has sent a rebind? Okay. The assumption there is that we are starting a renew message from the 50% of the valid lifetime, and if we can't get any reply from 50 to 80%, of the valid lifetime, it is assumed that the client can expect that there is something wrong with the server. So if you send a rebind message, it is not guaranteed that any server can give you the, can send the accept messages. The other servers, what it will do is, it will check, is it valid in my location? If I am the server, can I give the address to this client or not? If it can do it, it sends OK. So, if the server is down for some limited period of time and some other server can renew, service the request of the client. A server leases the address to the client for specific period of time, and it is not the responsibility of the server to initiate anything like asking the client to renew it. It should be possible for each DC server to share the information, the current database information with other servers, we have some DDNS or something like that. And it is the responsibility of the server to initiate reconfiguration message. So reconfiguration is something like if some of our network parameters have changed in between, like having a DNS server, change the DNS server, or some other information which the server wants to inform all the clients, it sends a reconfigure message to all the clients in the network. So each client, after receiving the reconfigure message, has to send a request to the server and then gets the latest parameters. For server, we use two files apart from the DOID. We have one leaves file. It's nothing but a collection of all the records of addresses and the validity periods of the addresses. And we provide the information to the server to dcv6.conf file, which is like what is the starting address, what is the ending address, and the prefix information and DNS information. The state machine of server is quite simple. It initially sockets and the database and starts producing the request of the various all the clients. Pardon? No. Currently, no. The implementation of V6 server is, I haven't seen anybody asking for V6 server, DCV V6 server in the current scenario. Like V6 itself provides a vast range of addresses that any network can generate. And the usage of V6, DCV V6 comes up only IPv6 is really deployed in real-time networks. The address delegation, how a server will, we have a range of addresses and how we give the addresses to the clients. Server maintains a list of all the addresses that it can leave to the various clients, and each address we have one flag, whether it is unallocated, it is free, that means it can give it to any client, and temporarily allocated, that means it has given some confirmation to the client so that it can give the address. And another one is initially we want all the addresses unallocated, and the server coming up, it gets the read information from leaf file and checks the validity of the address. If it is still a valid address, it marks as assigned. Otherwise, it marks as unallocated. And then, whenever there is any solicit message from the client for any specific address, it picks up that free address and then marks it temporarily allocated. And if it is a request message or any message, it marks the address as assigned. And if it is a release or decline, it marks it back to unallocated. So that it ensures that all the addresses which are leased out, which are freed out by clients, are available for other server, other clients. The server saves information, leaves information to persistent memory, and we are using the structure to save the information. Like it has the address, and it has a status whether it is allocated or not, and each one is pointed by a DOID, IID and DOID, and the lease period. Renew the lifetimes of the addresses. We provided this command line interface and where we specify the interface, and the client. It is possible for each client to have more than one address, and the number of addresses can be given by, we can specify as many number of as possible, and others for debugging messages. Here is a simple example, and we have three clients, and I want to restrict the access to various clients based on some other past performance or something like that. So we have a client which is trusted, and we can give free access to the internet, and we have client B which I don't want to give access to internet, and I just want to give limited to link local, the site local. And we have client C, and we don't want to configure, we don't want to give out any addresses to that. So initially vSeek in routers don't advertise any prefixes, just keeps null. And the client after coming up, it sends a request to GCP, request to the server, and server will allow client, give the prefix information, address information to the client A, and client B, you can say that, okay, I don't want to give a global scope address, I just want to give him the site local. And client C, we don't give any prefix information to the client C. So it is possible for, in a network to restrict the access to various scopes. This is a list of feature works and enhancements to be made to our code. We have used some data. There are some data structures which has to be modified so that we can make it scalable. And multi-threaded, we didn't have any multi-thread implementation for the server. It is good to have one multi-thread implementation server side so that the response time for each client is. The clients can get good response time. This is particularly useful whenever there is network outage, all the clients are down, and whenever all the clients try to access the net server, and we don't have multi-thread implementation. There is a possibility that we may get some of this delays in the response from the server. Yep. The third one is scripts. We don't have any currently IFF scripts or something like that for a DHCP enabled IPv6. IPv6 scenario. We have only for IP. If it is IPv6, we can say that if it is IPv6 configured, it just tries to get the information from /etc/config. In case of Red Hat, it is like this. But we don't have any support if we have one DHCP v6 client and we are using IFF scripts. We don't have support. We have to have that. Yeah, as I said, we implemented the code in draft 23 standards, and the standards have been changed, and now it is draft 26, which is a proposed standard level by ITF. And we have to have more support for more options. Like currently we have options only for DNS, and that has to be upgraded. I mean, there are so many options provided by DHCP6 for different reasons. We may not use all the options, but it is good to have all the options support in our implementation. We did not have, I mean, we have a basic support. We cannot say it is complete. We have basic support for reconfigure, and that has to be enhanced really a lot, because specs have changed from draft 23 to 26 a lot in terms of reconfigure message, how the server can send a message, reconfigure message to the client. Relay support is missing completely. We have to have a complete implementation for relay. I mean, the support has to be the complete support from the relay part as well as the client and server part, so that it can identify, I mean, it can process the relay relay messages. Yeah, the first link is the link where we have our DHCP code. I mean, it is in the usage site in last July. The second one is some other good source for DHCP V6 implementation. The draft is draft IETF. I mean, that is a draft standard. Oh, it is not yet into RFC, but it is a proposed standard. The Byring IDE site is very good. It gives you better documentation, and that is the first site I have seen for IPv6. It is very good implementation, a very good source for getting any IPv6 information. And 2462 is too far IPv6 status address configuration. Questions? Questions? Right, sir. Assume a scenario where network is down for some reason, like power outage or something, and all the clients comes up at a time, and all the client wants to access the server at a time. Assume if we have 100 or 200 clients in the network, and if we have only one server process running there to serve all the clients, there is a possibility that the response time may get delayed, and it is good to have one multi-thread implementation wherever possible. That was the idea. Is your question is a relay transparent? Right. Yeah. What the relay does is it just copies the client message, DHCP packet, and adds a header to it, and then passes it to server. Server, after seeing this relay message, it knows that since it is the relay packet, it knows that it is not for this client, this machine we are giving the address. It is some other machine which we are giving the address. So. I'm not getting you. Yeah. The servers, there are two cases. One is when a server is able to directly contact the client, and one more case, the server is not able to directly contact the client because the client do not have a scope of this server. If it has a scope, the client is in a scope where it can directly contact the server, it can directly contact it. So we have scopes, we have one link local scope, site local, and organization level scope. If the client do not have any organization level scope, it cannot talk to any organization level scope address. What it has to do, it has to have one relay which is in between, and the client sends a message to relay, and this relay forwards the message to the server. And the server, since it cannot directly talk to this client, since it do not have a scope, it forwards the message to relay, and the relay forwards it back to client. Once it configures the address, it may be possible for the client to directly contact server.
have the same interface in the license?
It is in a proposed standard.
Okay, so we have internet draft 26, which is going to be the RSA. Okay.
Yep. Perhaps DCP standards are the most, number of revised standards. It is 26. It was revised 26 times.